Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Eric, you missed us. We're back. Yeah.
This is Overtime.
Are you ready?
You guys ready?
KMOX News Time is 8:32, and happy Friday, January the 11th. Hi, John Hancock.
Hey there.
I see you're growing a little beard there.
Yeah, I am. I got my voice back.
Is that your hockey beard?
No, this is my, every 30 years I grow a beard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're a little late to be Santa Claus, bro.
And Michael Kelly.
Hey, good morning. You know, I may be one of the very few people who actually likes snow.
I like it too. I'm excited.
If it's going to be cold snow, what
I
the
know.
Heck? And especially on a weekend when we can just be snowed in and watching football and eating
right.
bad food.
That's what I just said to Dean DeVore. Like, it's Friday night into Saturday.
Yeah.
You have the weekend. Slap on some snow boots. Go out and play. Or just sit inside and watch Netflix all weekend. Like, it's a good excuse.
But
it's beautiful.
This morning I was doing some show prep and I was going through Twitter.
There's something you don't see every day.
People are like posting pictures that like, these Schnucks shelves are like empty of stuff. What is with people?
My
that they
husband
run out?
Went to Schnucks last night because we really didn't have any food in the house and there was nothing to feed the children. And he came back and said, "Oh my God, Schnucks looked like
looks like Russia.
Like it was a zombie apocalypse," and people were like, "You know,
give it to me."
So anyway. I would recommend, though, if we do get the amount of snow that we're expecting, you probably do want to get your beer before. It hits.
That's a never dwindling supply.
Excellent point.
Excellent
point.
Casa de MSK.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the snow. Michael Kelly says he's excited about it.
I am.
John Hancock, how do you feel about snow?
It's good. My dinner club got canceled for Saturday night in anticipation of the snow.
Was it going to be at your house?
No, not at our house.
Oh, see, that would have been a bonus if it was going to be at your house.
But, I don't mind the snow. We've got a nice little hill in the backyard, so all the neighborhood kids come and destroy my property, and it's great.
Hooligans.
Yeah.
Call the police.
Get off my lawn.
It's fun. I love hearing kids having a good time in the snow. Well, let's get to something a little more serious after we've discussed the snowfall. And that would be President Trump saying yesterday that his campaign promise, who's going to build the wall?
Mexico!
We're going to build
Mexico!
The wall. Mexico's going to pay for it. We're going to build it.
Yeah, Mexico's paying for the wall. But he said yesterday, actual words out of his mouth. Do we have this clip?
I would say Mexico's going to pay for it. Obviously, I never said this and I never meant they're going to write out a check. I will build a great, great wall, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall.
But he never actually said that, apparently.
Right, right.
So in clarifying John Hancock,
yes.
The president now says, I didn't mean he was actually going to pay. I know he said, I didn't say they were going to pay for it.
He did.
Now he's saying it's going to be, this redone NAFTA that's going to cover all of the costs somehow. Is this a good look?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And because... the whole wall thing became a shtick during the campaign, clearly. And probably in hindsight, the president would have done better to pivot earlier and talk about border security. Because border security is actually an important priority for the country. But Donald Trump he's many things. And one of the things he is an entertainer. And I think he was using this shtick on the stump. And it was quite entertaining, the crowd out there saying Mexico is going to be, and it was all fun. But this is real important national security policy, and border security is important. And because this thing has gotten so conflated into Mexico paying for it and blah, 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 we're losing sight of the importance of the policy. And the importance of the policy is in a gridlock right now, and that is unfortunate.
This guy has been president of the United States for 24 months. He won in a surprise election. He got a United States Senate that was on his side and a United States Congress that was on his side. Not once did they tackle this wall. Not once. And their excuse was, we need 60 votes in the Senate. Well, you had the House. You could have passed it through the House. You could have put it to the Senate and started to applying this pressure on the Democrats. Now the president has lost control of the United States House to the Democrats, and this is now his number one issue. What did he do for the previous 24 months? This is nothing more than a charade for his base. And I think it is working for those mouth breathers that really think Donald Trump is right about everything. But it ultimately, this is going to continue to dwindle those middle of the road folks that have been supportive of Donald Trump in the past. And I don't see this as a long-term strategy that's going to be helpful for him.
So to that point, John, it's an emergency now. He wants to declare a national emergency. He wants to use money for that was appropriated for other things.
Right.
He's saying he's not going to maybe send FEMA money to Puerto Rico, and maybe he's going to not send money to California for the wildfire damage. Why was it not an emergency 2 months ago? It wasn't an emergency 6 months ago. It wasn't an emergency a year ago.
Well, that's the case he's going to have to make if he chooses this course. The president has broad authority, and I think it's debatable whether or not the president in this instance can call a state of emergency and go take the money. And look, you're never going to build a 2,000-foot wall across the entire southern border. There's waterways involved. But there is a lot of technological advances that have been made, a lot of trenching that gets done around borders with a lot of high-tech equipment and cameras and so forth. There are things that can be done to secure and make our border safer. And that's what we shouldn't lose sight of here. This is an important national priority.
I feel so bad for you that you have to come in here and try to rationalize guy's thought process. It's okay. Look, this week was really startling in pointing out the lies from Donald Trump, right? First, he says all the former presidents had said to me, this is something they wanted. Well, of course, they went to all the former living presidents, and they all like, I haven't even talked to this guy since he got inaugurated. Never said anything like it. Exposed on a lie. Then in his charade of a speech that we saw this week, he says, at the Democrats' request, it's going to be a steel wall. He just makes stuff up. The man lies. So you call him an entertainer, but this guy's supposed to be the president of the United States. He could make his case without lying, and the continued lies that comes from his mouth, I think, just ultimately is dooming in his own policies. I got to tell you, I think he's headed towards declaring this a national emergency or whatever, and he's going to have the military down that. I think that could be the beginning of the destruction of the Republicans in the Senate for him.
Kelly, what do you think is the thought process between of him saying, well, we're not going to send emergency funds to California to fight the wildfires, and then saying Puerto Rico, which is still suffering, we're not going to send them money. Is there a method to that madness? Is it just to drive Democrats crazy?
Well, I think it's to make Democrats crazy. It's also holding, you know, Americans and their safety hostage. I mean, Puerto Ricans are Americans. Californians are Americans. He's going to hold them hostage for a campaign promise that he didn't do anything for 24 months. It's wrong. It's immoral.
Well, look, you've got appropriations for these national disasters. And to the extent that there is money there that is not needed, and, you know, you can't predict how much money you're going to need and to help the Puerto Ricans. As long as you're able to provide for the needs of those folks that have gone through the national disasters and still have some money left over, I don't have a particular problem with using those excess funds for border security.
Puerto Rico could use this $5 billion. There's parts of Puerto Rico that still don't have electricity since the hurricane
The point I'm making is
paper towels
the
at
point
them.
I'm making is that if you've got once you've sufficiently taken care of the people that have gone through that natural disaster, if there are still funds available, I don't have a problem.
Wouldn't it have been great those for border to have security? A president stand up for Americans with the same feverish tone for those poor people in Puerto Rico? And how about those innocent folks out there in California that are living with the consequences of climate change, whose houses and lives are being destructed on a daily basis? Wouldn't it be great if we had a president who took to that the same way?
Buddy, we are providing for the needs of those folks that have gone through these things. The United States of America takes care of its people. We take care of the folks around the world when they go through natural disasters.
He is an incredible piano player. I mean, we've both seen him, right? He's an incredible piano player.
And a tap dancer.
The guy is one of the best tap dancers I've ever seen. Sammy Davis has nothing
Gene
on
Kelly,
Johnny
buddy.
Hancock.
Gene Kelly.
Nothing on you, brother.
We love our John Hancock.
You could be Ginger Rogers over there, Kelly.
I do it all backwards.
Hi, Chris Kerber with you here, and the St. Louis Blues hit the road for four straight as Saturday night they face off against the Dallas Stars from Dallas. The pregame show's at 7:30. The puck drops at 8 o'clock right here on your home for Blues hockey, KMOX. Let's go, Blues!
right, it's 8:43. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with John Hancock
Morning.
And Michael
hey
Kelly.
Now.
It is the Friday overtime before Snowmageddon begins. So,
no, you know, it's called Storm Gia. You know, we're naming storms now.
Yeah, apparently just the Weather Channel does that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Gia.
I'm not calling it that. We're just calling
storm.
We're calling it a long weather event. Snow event.
You deliver a bunch of Gias to people, don't you, at Christmas time? Huh? You ought to see this white beard my guy's got going.
I don't know what that means.
The chia pets.
Chia
heads and chia.
All right. Well, we have talked a lot about fake news, and I don't mean the Donald Trump kind of fake news, but like actual fake news that, you know, people are sharing all the time on social media of memes and things that are completely false, but people share anyway.
Yeah.
And then there's this study that comes out from the journal Science Advances that says people over 65 and ultra conservatives shared about 7 times more fake information masquerading as news on social media than younger adults, moderates, and liberals during the 2016 election season. Are you surprised at these findings, Michael Kelly?
No, because if you're a person who doesn't believe the earth is getting warmer and you don't believe in climate change, you'll pretty much believe anything. So they put these conspiracies out to these folks, and they just buy into it. Oh, okay, great. I'm in. I mean, these people will believe anything. They won't believe facts, so they'll just go along with whatever, and Russia's figured out how to use it.
Oh, boy.
John?
Look, there are plenty of people on both sides of the ideological extremes that are willing to buy into any manner of conspiracy theories, and it is not the unique bastion of the right, Michael. There's plenty of your crazy folks out there that are buying into a bunch of stuff that's just not true as well.
Don't you find it compelling, though, that, John, that conservatives are 7 times more likely to be spreading this
and people
fake
over
news?
65.
Yeah, I don't. Well, not everybody over 65 is an ultra conservative, number one. And number two, I think that it is a condition that affects both sides of the ideological divide.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, let's move on. One of the Loop trolley cars was forced to shut down yesterday.
Unbelievable.
And, this thing's cursed.
Well, in this case, it doesn't appear that it was the Loop trolley's fault. Uh-huh. It was that a car was not paying attention and crossed right into the path of the trolley, and its car door got jammed into the trolley and damaged, like, the step that you step up onto to get into the trolley car. So you might remember that 2 days before the official public launch, the trolley clipped a parked van and also hit a truck. So what's your thought, Michael Kelly, on the Loop trolley?
Well, I think it may be like a reality TV show that's being pulled on all of us and we don't know it. I mean, it's like candid camera. I mean, what is going on here? I mean, this thing is either cursed or the folks that are running this thing are just vastly incompetent. Now, first of all, if you're going to build a trolley, you're going to have to imagine that occasionally there's going to be a car accident that, or the car that's going to hit it. This is stuff you can plan for. Now, are they having to shut down the trolley now for the next couple of days as a result of this?
Just that one car. So the other trolley car will be running, and it'll be, so if you buy a 2-hour pass, they're going to let you go have it for 3 hours just to make up for the inconvenience. So the trolley's still running, but that one car that was
You remember hit. That old late night show in the 90s called Friday the 13th? It used to be a show it was on, and it was the guy had an antique shop, and they would go around and collect these cursed items, you know, the old grandfather clock, and everybody in the house died. And so they'd go grab these cursed items and destroy them. That was the whole point of it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe the trolley needs to be pulling into that antique shop.
It's unbelievable.
I know. I feel
it really is unbelievable.
I really want it to succeed.
The cars look really beautiful.
And it's a cool idea.
And we all love Joe Edwards done for the Loop. But, I mean, we're beyond laughable anymore. It's just kind of like, yeah, well, I mean, what's next?
Another.
I mean, come on.
You're right, though. Somebody needs to put together a blog or a little, you know.
Right.
Like, at least we should have fun with it.
The tales of the trolley car.
All right. So, Missouri now has medicinal marijuana, and the state is trying to figure out exactly how to implement it. A number of states have moved even one step further and have recreational marijuana, so people are still kind of trying to wait and see what impact it's going to have on things. But the liquor industry has been a little concerned that maybe legal marijuana sales are going to cut into their business. So you notice a lot of the liquor and beer companies trying to figure out how they can make pot beer now. But apparently, according to a trade group representing Bacardi, the company Diageo says that hard liquor sales in Oregon, Colorado, and Washington State, three of the states where weed has been legal the longest, they've had no impact at all on liquor sales. So people are smoking and drinking, John Hancock.
There you go.
Are you surprised?
It does not surprise me. Everybody wants to alter their state of consciousness. Especially now, right? So, no, it does not surprise me.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me either. I don't think it suddenly, because it's legal, people are starting to smoke weed. They were smoking weed even when it wasn't legal. So, you know, I don't see it being that big of a deal. But it also is no surprise that the liquor companies would want to get into the weed business. I mean, why not? What would my friends on the right say? It's the free market, Kelly. And that's exactly what we're seeing.
KMOX News Time is 8:49. Hancock, Kelly, Monterey will take a break here and be back with round three of OT. All right, it's 8:52. We have Hancock and Kelly in the house. It is Friday, and it's just before Snowmageddon hits, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
We'll keep you posted all day long as that storm moves in, or the long snow event, as Dean says, because it'll snow from this afternoon probably all the way through flurries on Sunday. Illinois, for the 11th year in a row, was number one as far as a state with laws that protect animals. And Missouri, for the 6th year in a row, was the number one state in the nation for puppy mills. And we know puppy mills are not a good thing, and laws to crack down on them have apparently not helped much. But California is now banning the sale of commercially bred cats, dogs, and rabbits. Their new law went into effect January 1st, requiring pet stores to stick with carrying rescue animals from local shelters. Which I know you're sighing, but if you go to, like, PetSmart or something, that's what they have. They don't have puppies from a puppy mill. They have puppies from a shelter.
And if you go to the Humane Society, it's just packed with these animals looking for a house.
Yeah, the Humane Society is praising this move as a big step towards the day when puppy mills have nowhere left to sell. So, since you're grumbling, John Hancock, are you a supporter of puppy mills?
If somebody wants to breed golden retrievers, they ought to be able to breed golden retrievers. And if a consumer wants to buy a golden retriever, they ought to be able to do it. Now, Gus is a rescue dog, so I'm all for rescue dogs. But no, this is a business. People support families by breeding.
Dogs. You're missing the point. They're talking about commercialized breeding, which are these puppy mills that are taking place. This isn't your neighbor Sally breeding her two golden retrievers.
What I'm saying is there are dog breeders out there all over the country that they're breeding lots of dogs and selling them.
But that's not what's showing up at PetSmart's.
No.
PetSmart's and all those types of places, and I'm not picking on PetSmart's, but any of these types of giant pet stores, they're coming from commercial breeders, which are these commercial actions. And wouldn't it be great if we dealt with all the dogs that are being put to death and cats that are being put to death in all these shelters rather than having some big institutional breeding?
It's a business. It's a business. And now, I would suggest that if you're in that business, you don't want to overbreed dogs that you can't, you know. But there are plenty of people in the business of breeding dogs or cats, and they sell those dogs and cats, and they ought to be allowed to do it. The government doesn't need to be coming in and shutting that down, in my ever so humble opinion.
Yeah, very.
All right, well, let's ask you this one, John.
All right.
Amy Grinnell is a cuddlist. She lives in Connecticut. She gets paid $80 an hour to snuggle. So there are people in the world.
Oh yeah, we interviewed one a few years ago.
Pay somebody else to
snuggle.
The snugglers.
Yeah,
yeah. It's very professional and very meaningful. The work we do, she says. Research has shown that oxytocin, aka the cuddle or love hormone, will help relieve stress and anxiety and lead to increased feelings of spirituality. Mm. So she charges $80 an hour. John, how much would you pay to snuggle with Michael Kelly?
You know, I love the guy, but I ain't snuggling with him.
Buddy, come on. I'm in a depressed state. You don't want to get my energy up?
You've got plenty of cuddle partners, Kelly. I'm quite certain of that.
In all seriousness, though,
Michael
Kelly.
Out $80 an hour either.
Does it surprise you that, are we that lonely?
Yeah.
That we would pay some stranger to cuddle with us?
Yeah.
That's kind of creepy.
Well,
I think
is creepy, but we've lost human interaction. I mean,
people have dogs.
I was at a lunch yesterday.
Go get a dog out there.
And as I was walking out, there were six people sitting at a table that I knew that were all on phones texting rather than talking with each other at lunch. We have no human contact anymore.
It is true that loneliness is a huge, huge issue in this country. KMOX News Time is 8:56. Hancock and Kelly up after the news at the top.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.